House will come to order. The first, or the next item of business is reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 2, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Barbudo, Brechtel, Brown, Kennedy, Green, Crone, Nicholas, Peasley, excused, Throne. Signed, representing Brown, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom is referred House Bill 12, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Barbudo, Brown, Kennedy, Green, Crone, Nicholas, Throne, No, Brechtel, Peasley, signed, representing Brown, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 13, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Barbudo, Brechtel, Brown, Kennedy, Green, Crone, Nicholas, Peasley, Throne, signed, representing Brown, Chairman.
Okay, through the noon deadline today, we have House bills filed 1 through 122 and House Joint Resolutions 113. We're at that order of business, consideration of bills on general file. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. If you would move House Bill number 32 to the top of your general file list, I move that the House resolve itself into committee of the whole.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The House is resolved into committee of the whole. Representative Botten.
Committee of the Whole will please come to order. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 32. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 32, introduced by the Corporation Committee, an act relating to state legislative districts.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Illaway?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and good afternoon. I always wanted the reading clerk to read more. He has such a great voice, and I've heard it for 14 years. It's great to have you up there, Bill. Thank you. What we're going to do today is you have House Bill 32, which is a many-page bill in your file folder. Because of the complexity of the bill, we decided after our meeting yesterday that we would have a substitute number one for House Bill 32 just because of trying to put the populations and the deviations and all of the information into the bill. Because the original House Bill 32 was, as we left our meeting on January 19th. And since we changed some districts slightly yesterday, rather than to try and go back and make changes within the large bill, we came up with and wanted to substitute, and therefore I move that we substitute number one for House Bill 32 at this time. That's a motion, Mr. Chairman. The motion is to substitute number one for House Bill 32.
You have heard the motion. Are you ready for the question? Question having been called, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The Standing Committee Amendment, the substitute bill, has been adopted. We are back on the bill.
Mr. Chairman, there are two amendments, so I think the best thing to do is to have you take a look at both screens, which are in the front. The original map, as we left January 19th and you were able to see on your plan viewer, was pretty much what you see now, except for southeast Wyoming and up along Goshen County. And I don't have a pointer, but you can see the orange part of Goshen County, and the amendment yesterday that came up was, and what you just voted on, thank you. Oh, boy. Hey! Okay, Jeb, don't look at me. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, would you please move the bill?
Ah, okay. Sorry. I move substitute number one for House Bill. I move substitute number one, House Bill 32. Oh, okay. I got to do this. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with recommendation that substitute number one for House Bill 32 do pass. And I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee amendments, which we have talked about, but let me explain them. I don't want to get anybody's eyes. Okay. Yesterday, we adopted the plan for Eastern Laramie County, and that House district goes up towards, up along the eastern border of the state, and takes in the state prison at Torrington. The prisoners are counted in the 2010 census, but they can't vote. And Matt has graciously put that up so you could see, this takes care of a problem that we have had, for some time with trying to figure out Eastern Laramie County, Goshen County, and it also takes care of a conflict with two senators. So that was the first amendment that we worked on yesterday. Matt, let's go to Western Wyoming, to Southwest Wyoming, and yesterday we worked on the town of LaBarge to put it in the proper district. LaBarge is right up there. And we got that into the proper district. That was a minor amendment also. And then there was a severability amendment that we took out in the heading of the bill on line four, on page one. We took out the words providing for severability. Those were the three amendments that we did, and that's why we put it into a substitute number one bill. So those are the Standing Committee amendments.
All right, we're all a little bit rusty, so I was told by the chief clerk that having moved the bill now we have to take the vote again on the Standing Committee amendment, just so we're procedurally correct. So you have heard the Standing Committee amendment. Do I hear a question? Okay, sorry.
Okay,
and then I misunderstood the boss here. So.
Right. All right. So what you have seen, and Matt, if you'll go back to the entire state, that's a little confusing with this bill. What you've seen is an amendment over here in the barge, an amendment over here in eastern Laramie County, and in parts of Goshen County. Other than that, the Standing Committee did nothing more to the map than you had seen from the January 19th meeting. So, I'd call for the question, but I also know that there are two amendments, proposed amendments. So,
Chairman Korberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I have a good question for the good chairman of corporations. Did the change over in the Goshen County area, did that alleviate the Senate issue where we have a holdover senator that...
Okay.
Thank you.
Chairman Elway.
Mr. Chairman, the question was in regarding to the holdover senator. The holdover senator lives east, right in there. So we took care of the holdover senator yesterday, and there is no holdover senator. I mean, he's a holdover senator, but he's not. There's no problem with him running. He will represent the districts that he has, and the senator from Eastern Laramie County, if he chooses to run, he chooses to run. There is no conflict.
Chairman McComey.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to know, you know, when you do these, you have to move some numbers around. And could you talk a little bit about what that did as far as the plus or minus? Or did it close something up or make a problem? Well, it could have made a problem or you wouldn't have passed it.
Thank you.
Elway.
Mr. Chairman, the good gentleman from... House District 54 brings up a good point, but I can tell you that your substitute that says substitute 1 for House Bill 32, a standing committee amendment, does show the population for every House district. It shows the deviation, the percent deviation. And I will tell you that staff has done a great job in putting this together. Everything, what we did yesterday and what we have done since the 19th or on the 19th, all the deviations are within proper percentage. And I know somebody told me today that they want to bring an amendment tomorrow on second reading. That's fine. It has to go through LSO because of making sure that the deviations and the percentages are correct. We can't vote on something that doesn't fit. So, Mr. Chairman, I'm
further questions of the chairman. Okay, we have two Committee of the Whole amendments. Let's start with Committee of the Whole Amendment 1. Who's the bringer of the amendment?
Mr. Chairman, it's Representative Hunt.
Okay. Representative Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The amendment that I bring I'd like to move Amendment 1 to Committee of the Whole. Amendment number 1 of House Bill 32. Okay, sorry about that. thank you. Okay, this amendment focuses on the entire east side of the state. This is roughly the, you know, about the 58th verse, almost the same as the first, that I've been explaining for the last 6 months or so. The changes that it makes most obviously are in the northeast area. Currently, Weston County is split almost perfectly in two. Newcastle goes into District 2, and then you've got Upton and Osage going into going into District 1. So the alternative to that is that District 2 would be comprised entirely of Weston and Niobrara County. District 1 would be all of Cook County and 1,995 people from two precincts out of Campbell County there on the east side. Then you've got, I'll discuss District 3, which is split between Campbell and Converse. The way those numbers lie within District 3, it favors Campbell County about 2-1, almost exactly. And then there are four House districts fully within Campbell County. And the idea behind that being that as the numbers fall, Campbell County is entitled to five representatives. And so under this idea, minus the 1,995 people on the east side there, it would presumably assure them of those five representatives. Now, moving down a little into the rest of Converse County, you've got District 6 here, contained entirely within Converse County, takes in Glen Rock, most of Douglas. Platte County, fully enclosed within District 4, plus 695 people out of the Orrin precinct in that little fishhook-looking thing. Over to Goshen County. District 5, fully contained within Goshen County. It takes in most of Torrington, everything south of the highway there, or everything north of the highway, I'm sorry. And then also Lingle and Fort Laramie and Veteran. Now, as far as the other rural counties or communities in the south of the county, that being LaGrange, Hot Springs, Yoder, etc., they'd go into District 10. And District 10 would then be comprised of all of these precincts in Laramie County on the east side of the county. Takes in Burns, Albin, Pine Bluffs, and Carpenter. So that's it. That's the gist of it. And also I'd like to point out that District 10, recognizing that Laramie County has enough population for 10 representatives. The numbers at this falls is about 5/9 in favor of Laramie County. You've got 5,000 and some in Laramie County and about 4,400 up in Goshen County. The idea behind this is that it follows county lines to the greatest extent possible, as far as I can tell, and recognizes that the larger counties, Campbell and Laramie, numerically, the numbers fall, and chances are that they would get the representatives and senators that they deserve, while doing its best to keep northeast Wyoming together and trying not to disenfranchise the rural areas of the state on the east side. So that's it in a nutshell, and I would stand for any questions. Thank you.
Representative Stubson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and against the amendment, I just wanted to give the body a little bit of background on the history of this east side and sort of the discussions that we in the committee had in addressing this amendment that's before you and why it was rejected by the committee. And looking back a little bit, really, I mean, the simplest aspect of this is that it is a plan that starts from two counties, Weston and Niobrara, and then moves out from there. And I can tell you that if each of you started at your own districts and worked out, this map would look vastly different. So you really have to consider what impacts this has on the rest of the states in the region. And one of the difficulties on this eastern side is because of the increases in population in Campbell County, each of these districts is at the high end of the deviation of that plus 5%. So there is very little room to maneuver on the east side, all the way from Campbell and Crook down through Goshen. Those districts are very high. So what really happens here is there's three impacts on three other regions, adverse impacts on the east side, just to get Weston and Niobrara together and looking nice like they are in this plan. The primary one is on Campbell County. And as you've heard, Campbell County had enormous population growth over the last 10 years. And Campbell County actually was entitled and could have easily, right within the middle of the deviation, had five House seats solely within their county boundaries. And at the beginning of our discussions, that's what Campbell County wanted to see and what they were fighting for. And we, in discussions, really, they came to a compromise where, and Matt, maybe you can click up to the committee's plan. The committee's plan still brings them down. This House District 3 still goes down into Converse County. So Campbell County agreed to take on extra population and to go outside their county borders in order to make this whole plan on the east side work. So they compromised in order to do that. What this proposed plan does, though, is carves them up even further. And the House District 1, as you see it currently, when it goes into Campbell County, the base of population is in Crook County. So it makes it likely that Campbell County will remain, despite their enormous population growth, remain with four representatives, not five. And the possibility exists that they could actually end up with only three representatives in their county with this amended plan. And so that was one of our big concerns. The other one was that this impacts Goshen County significantly more than the committee plan. When you go down to the south into and you have to bring House District 10 up into Goshen County, the amended plan brings it, you can see, substantially almost halfway up into Goshen County and takes a substantial chunk of the county out, whereas the committee plan was designed to minimize the impact on Goshen County and take only about, there's the prison population, but aside from the prison population, only about 150 folks or so into Laramie County and House District 10. The final thing that it causes concern on this plan is it involves an entire rewrite of the Laramie County plan. And there has been, I think I've heard from one member of the Laramie County delegation that supports this rewrite, but none of the others. And so you are essentially imposing a new plan on Laramie County that they don't approve of and have never voted on. So those are sort of the adverse. And what you get out of it is understand that Weston County, the line between House District 2 and House District 1 in the current plan up, maybe we can switch back to the current plan, the current proposed plan. Right there, that line between House District 1 and House District 2, that's the exact same line that's existed there for 10 years. We did not change that. So if you're looking at a sort of approach of do no harm, we left that line where it was, where people are accustomed to it being, and didn't change it. And so while it may not be ideal for Weston County to be split like that, it is a historical split and one that they have been able to live through for the last 10 years. So with that history, I would just urge you to take a real close look at this amendment and to cast a no vote on it.
Chairman Sedlick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to speak to this plan, but not necessarily advocate, you know, for or against this particular amendment. I'll push back just respectfully, slightly, about the comments from the last speaker about kind of the necessity to have a buy-in on the part of the current representatives from a particular part of the county. Respectfully, I would suggest that our primary responsibility is to look out what's best for constituency services, and it can change and still meet that obligation. Now, with respect to the plan in terms of community interest, it certainly fulfills that requirements, particularly with regard to Weston and Niobrara County. You've got those two counties blocked in. Historically, over the last number of years, the three counties from Crook, Weston, and Niobrara have all shared kind of the dubious distinction of being the lowest assessed value counties in the state. So it's certainly a community of interest there, and that's important. I think it's obviously a result of our sparse population and a rural representation that's very prevalent in those three counties. So we need to be mindful of representing all of the community interests in the state, the urban interest, the rural interest, and this plan, at least in Niobrara and Weston County, seems to do that. Now, with respect to House District 1 in this plan, I had shared some comments with the Corporations Committee yesterday, and I'll repeat some of them today. And it has to do with just the alignment of Campbell and Crook County laying next to one another. And I don't think there's any other two counties in the state that share the disparity from the top of the assessed value to the lowest of the assessed value as these two counties do. I would hastily point out that in my number of years as public service, Campbell County has been a great neighbor to Crook County, and they've provided us with support where we were not able to do things in terms of fire and hazmat, and that's been very helpful to us. But when you split a district like this between the two counties, as I previously described, I think you have somewhat of a challenge in your representation of these two vast difference in assessed value counties. My perspective has been through this whole reapportionment discussion is that the main issue in the relationship between the state and the districts has to do with local government financing, revenue sharing, and in this particular alignment that we see in this amendment, we have, as I said before, and as you all recognize, a quite wide disparity between the haves and the have-nots. And I would just, again, without advocating for one plan or another, I would just suggest that when you have that type of a mixed constituency, it could create some interesting problems. When we have money, as we have in the previous two bienniums, where you share $458 million with local government, it's really not much of a problem. But if we get down with the declining revenues and declining opportunities to share revenue with our communities, it would create a kind of an interesting mix when you're representing local government on one side of a community that's going to be sharing revenue in a revenue challenge community with another, and you're trying to represent both those interests. All other aspects of representing our constituents, I don't think is too big of a concern, but with the aspect of local government financing revenue sharing, it could be done. I just say that when revenues get short, the responsibility for each county is to look after their interest in each community. So that would be, again, not advocating necessarily what for or against. There's certainly some advantage to this over the committee plan, and there's might be some other concerns. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Bickery.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The committee that worked on this bill
had more than 20 meetings and hearings across the entire state of Wyoming. And during all that time, we heard citizens from every part of the state talk to us. And during all that time, we worked with the clerks from every single county to ask them how this would affect their county when they had to set up for elections and how that would work. And always along that time, we worked to try to make sure that what we did would not mess them up very much. This amendment never consulted at all with a single clerk all the way up and down the entire east side. Not one. Nobody knows what election districts it cuts through. Nobody knows what school districts it cuts through. Nobody knows any of those things. Another thing I'd like to point out is that Campbell County grew by nearly 20% of the entire growth of this state. About 20% of the people that we gained in the last 10 years in Wyoming were gained in our county. We qualify for 5 representatives within our own borders at 9,227 people each, or actually 2 for 9,227 and 2 for 9,226. That is as close to the average size that a district is required to be. It's the only place it's closer for average is the 8 districts in Natrona County. Campbell County could have dug in its heels and said, we want our own 5. And we would have loved that. But we decided that because we need to have smaller districts in the basin to make the basin work, that we would share. And we looked for a partner. And the partner that said they would work with us was South in Congress County, and I ask you guys to defeat this amendment and go with the plan that was worked out by this committee over an entire year. Thank you.
Further discussion on the amendment before the sponsor? Representative Zwanitz or Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I somewhat more in favor of this plan than the current plan, but just to push back a little bit on the past speaker, you know, I like to view this bill like we view the budget. I mean, I hear from the appropriations chairman almost every day that this is this body's budget, and even though they spend a lot of time and work in the interim, that really they present it to the floor of the legislature, and the 60 of us now have a say and a decision and get to make input and have the debates on what we want to see in the redistricting bill and what we don't. And it's not, I mean, I think, any different than at the end of the day, we have to have a balanced budget, and when we spend money here, we take it from there. At the end of the day, we have to have 60 House districts in this state, and if we need to take some and give some, you know, we can do that and just have a discussion about it. And yes, there's a lot of work done in committee, and I think the product is very, very, very good. I don't think it's infallible, and, you know, if it takes 5 or 6 or 7 hours on this floor that we could debate and really go through some districts and talk about what 9 people in this body out of the 60 of us did, and the good and bad and ugly of that, you know, we're all representing our own districts of the 9 of us in this, 9 of us in this house on the committee out of the 60. And, you know, if you look at what counties we all represent, I would say Laramie County, we could have fought for our 10. We early on said, you know, we can give and take some. Campbell County came to the table. They said, we can give and take some, although they certainly qualified for their 5. And I would have liked to have seen a plan that did that. So as we discuss this, I mean, I know people are anxious to get through this today, but, I mean, I would like to see some thought and some question and some dialogue on why the committee did what it did and why it may have been a good idea, why it may not be a good idea. But to have people get in the mic and say, this is what we did and this is how it has to be, I don't think that's what we're elected, you know, here to be and to serve and how we should be thinking about this redistricting bill. Thank you.
Representative Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. No, this is not going to be a historical lecture, but the thing that we discovered in our first, particularly our first 3 committee meetings across the state, was to try and have the public understand that we're not the mischief makers when it comes to the county lines. The court held, not once, but more than once, repeatedly, that the county lines are not determining factors in legislative apportionment. It's the number of people. We do understand and did understand, as well as the court, that the significant consideration is in the administration of the election, and that's done by the counties and the county clerks. So the county clerks weren't necessarily embracing the movement of county lines or the ignoring of the county lines, but nonetheless they were quite willing to work with it and did, and tried to be as constructive as they could, as did the committee. One of the interesting parts, or two of the interesting parts to me in human relations, is that we had the term, which was the second most important after population, called community of interest. We were supposed to have that as a second strong consideration. I don't know how many people in here in this room have thought about a definition of community of interest. But after all the meetings that we had across the state, we made one really severe determination, and that is that the community of interest depends upon the person and where that person is from as to how that definition is accepted. So what we ended up with is to try and look at community of interest without the regard of the county lines. And there was a flaw. And that flaw is that there are people in counties that are adjacent to one another, that have a strong relationship with one another, and the mathematical figures disrupted that. To that extent, we would apologize. But we're not the mischief makers. We did the best we could in trying to get the numbers to work, to try and get it to be whole and impartial as it relates to the relationship of the divergent financial interests that we have in this state, which we did not make as a part of the consideration. So with that and that thought, I rise in support of the bill and not of this amendment. Thank you.
Chairman Elway.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I will tell you that Western Laramie County, and I said this yesterday in committee, this is a monumental change for Western Laramie County. I, at present, represent House District 42, which instead of going east and west now has gone all the way up to the Platte County line. The unfortunate part about Western Laramie County, the designers never came to the people that live there or represent there, and that's unfortunate. Matt, if you would go back to the committee plan, I would appreciate it. The committee plan is thus. It takes in this part of Goshen County, which is very good representation for Goshen County. It takes in Eastern Laramie County, which goes up, as we said, right up to the prison, which is east of Torrington. But again, those 200 and some prisoners that are there were counted in the census because they are people, but because they are prisoners, they don't have a vote. It takes in Narborough County. It takes in a portion of Goshen County, the eastern portion. That is some ranch land in along there and JM and so forth. This is, as was indicated, it's about the same as it has been. You have Cook County and then down into Weston County. We have left Campbell County as we ended up on the 19th. And so I would ask that you affirm for the committee's plan. We have looked at the previous plan since somewhere in April, and we have come to this plan because we think that it represents the best possible plan for Eastern Wyoming. One of the real problems that you have in eastern Wyoming is it is eastern Wyoming. This is Nebraska. If it wasn't Nebraska and it was more of Wyoming, you could push those populations out here, but you can't. It's a state line. So this is the committee plan. We'd ask you to affirm it.
Further discussion on the amendment before the prime sponsor? All right, Representative Hunt, further rebuttal.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd just like to say thank you for all of that debate. I'd like to make a couple points that I didn't in my first speech, that at least on the east side here, no district covers more than two counties, and that in talking to people around the area, they like to be represented by somebody that they know that is as close to their hometown, their home county, whatever, if you will, as is possible. And so I know this isn't perfect, but no plan is, and not everybody likes it. But that's the aim behind this. And so with that, I would just ask for your favorable consideration of it. Thank you very much.
We are on committee, the whole amendment number one. Are you ready for the question? Question having been called, all those in favor of committee of the whole amendment number one, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, no.
No.
The amendment has failed. We are now on committee of the whole amendment number two. Representative, I'm sorry, Minority Whip Throne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I answer to a lot of things. Friends in the 60th, you can see that this is much different than the last amendment. This is a slight tweak. And if I could take you all to a window, it would be very easy to explain. All this does, historically, and I believe since 1992, the boundary for House District 11 has been Central Avenue in Cheyenne, which is the major dividing line of the city. Everything to the east is east. Everything to the west is west. It's a school dividing line. In Laramie County, we have neighborhood schools, so many of our legislative issues relate to schools. So just from a neighborhood and a voter perspective, it makes more sense to keep the boundary at Central. The House bill has the boundary at Warren. So you're just moving the boundary back to Central, where it's been, I believe, since 1992. I think it would be more consistent for the voters. The reason that we didn't address this sooner is we didn't think there was a way to make the numbers work. So I went back to LSO and asked them if we could get the numbers to work out for these urban districts. So it really only affects House District 11, House District 43, and House District 44. So it's a minor tweak. I think it works better for the city of Cheyenne and for the residents of the city of Cheyenne from a neighborhood perspective, which I think is consistent with the community of interest principles that's guiding redistricting. And I would be happy to answer any questions.
We are on committee of the whole amendment number two. Is there any discussion? Representatives Wanitz or Dan.
Mr. Speaker, as the representative who currently has a part of the district this is going into, I believe it's perfectly fine. We talked with our county clerk, and I think she agrees it would work and be not too much effort. So just to add that in.
Further discussion on the amendment? We're on committee of the whole amendment number two. Are you ready for the question? Question having been called, all those in favor of committee of the whole amendment number two, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The amendment is adopted. We are back on the bill. Chairman Illaway.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Unless there are any questions, since I see no further amendments, unless there are any questions on what the committee did over over the period of since April the 12th. I'm done.
We are on the bill, House Bill 32. Any further discussion on the bill? Question having been called. All those in favor of Chairman Illoway's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill 32 do pass, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House Bill 32 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 14. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 14, introduced by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to civil procedure, wrongful death representative.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Brown?
Mr. Speaker, Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill 14 do pass. There are no amendments, and I would ask that the good representative from Laramie County be recognized to explain the bill.
Representative Nicholas.
Mr. Chair, this is the Wrongful Death Representative Act. This was worked on. It was originally brought to the floor last year by the good representative from Worland. It then went into the Judiciary Committee for interim study because there were some tweaks on it that we worked out in Judiciary Committee. Just very simply, what this is it changes the mechanism by which a claim of action can be brought for beneficiaries of a deceased. It doesn't change anything else other than the procedural processes by which a lawyer representing a beneficiary of deceased brings their claim of action into district court. It broadens it up a little bit. It clarifies it based upon a Wyoming Supreme Court that came down about 2 years ago. Other than that, it doesn't change any substantive components of the law. It merely changes the procedure on how you go about bringing and filing a cause of action. And with that, I'll open up to questions. If it gets too complicated, I'll turn it over to Representative Greer. He knows a lot more about this bill than I do. So with that, I would ask for your approval on the bill.
Discussion on the bill. We're on the bill. Are you ready for the question? Question having been called. All those in favor of Chairman Brown's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill 14 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House Bill 14 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 8. Will the reading clerk please read the bill?
House Bill 8, introduced by the Labor Committee, an act relating to administration of government regarding the Department of Workforce Services consolidation.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill number 8 do pass. There are no amendments, and I turn the discussion of the bill over to Representative Reeder.
Representative Reeder.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Madam Chairman. House Bill number 8, the purpose of this bill is last year we we consolidated the Department of Employment and the Department of Workforce Services, which, by the way, has been a success and increased efficiency in government. This bill updates references in the statutes to Department of Employment and changes in the Department of Workforce Services. The bill also gives the governor the authority to consolidate councils and commissions that are not creations of the legislature. Lastly, the bill repeals the statute that created the Department of Employment. What this bill does is it changes references to the Department of Employment to the Department of Workforce Services. It repeals the statute that created Department of Employment on September 2nd, 2002. What is that? Gives governor authority to dissolve or consolidate commissions and councils within the Department of Workforce Services that are not legislatively created. For example, councils created because of federal requirements that are no longer needed or required by federal government. We would address any questions at this time.
Are there any question or any discussion on the bill? Question having been called. All those in favor of Chairman Harvey's motion that when the committee of the whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill 8 do pass, please say aye. Those opposed, no. House Bill 8 has passed the Committee of the Whole.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to congratulate the new representative for his first bill through the House and successfully done.
Mr. Chairman.
Chairman Semlek.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the House. I might have been the only one this morning that did not introduce my county clerk, and I was kind of off the floor there for a little bit. So at this time in the South Gallery, I'd like to introduce Connie Cheddar. She is the clerk of Crook County. She has the distinction, I believe, of receiving the most votes of anybody that's ever been elected in Crook County because of her service to the public, and we're glad she's here with us today.
The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 9. Will the reading clerk please read the bill?
House Bill 9, introduced by the Labor Committee, an act relating to unemployment insurance compliance.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill number 9 do pass. There is an amendment, and I will turn that explanation of the bill and the amendment over to Representative Gay.
Representative Gay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This little bill is brought to us by the Department of Workforce Services.
Pardon me to interrupt. Could you please move the amendment?
I'm sorry. I would like to move the Standing Committee Amendment 1 to House Bill number 9. This amendment defines what newly hired employee means. That's an individual who has not been previously employed by the employer or was previously employed by the employer but has been separated from employment with that employer for at least 60 days. If there are no questions on the amendment, I'd call for the question on the amendment.
Okay. Question having been called on Standing Committee Amendment number 1. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The Standing Committee Amendment number 1 has been adopted. We are back on the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Gay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This bill basically boils down to an anti-fraud measure aimed at reducing the number of overpayments to individuals receiving unemployment insurance. It also enables state child support enforcement agencies to be more effective establishing child support orders and enforcing child support orders by clearly defining date of hire. I stand for any questions.
Any discussion on the bill? Question having been called, all those in favor of Chairman Harvey's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill 9 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House Bill 9 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the Committee of the Whole rise and report.
You have heard the motion by the Majority Floor Leader. All those in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. Motion carries.
The reading clerk will read the Committee of the Whole report.
Mr. Speaker, your Committee of the Whole, having had under consideration bills on general file, beg leave to report as follows. House Bill 32, amended as follows. And further amended, recommended to pass House Bill 14, recommended to pass House Bill 8, recommended to pass House Bill 9, amended, recommended to pass. I am Representative Botten, Chairman.
I move the adoption of the Committee of the Whole report.
For the motion, all those in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The Committee of the Whole report is adopted. We're at that order of business. Standing committee reports.
Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 1 Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 25, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Barbudo, Bechtel, Brown, Kennedy, Green, Crone, Nicholas, Throne. No, Peasley. Signed, Representative Brown, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 1 Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 52, respectfully report same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass with amendments, with the following amendments. Ayes, Barbudo, Brown, Kennedy, Green, Crone, Nicholas, Throne. No, Bechtel, Peasley. Signed, Representative Brown, Chairman.
All right, our next order of business is A little entertainment, a little rally for the Wyoming Cowboys, who tonight take on the Falcons of the Air Force Academy. So, let's do a little Cowboy Joe. That's next.
Well, I lost my accompaniment. Bill Thompson retired, and Joe forgot his ukulele. So, we're going to do it a cappella today. Here we go. He always sings ragged music to the cattle as he swings back and forth in his saddle on a horse. Got a syncopated gator, and you ought to hear the meter, the roar of his repeater, how they run when they hear him a-coming, because the western folks all know he's a highfalutin, rootin' toot, son of a gun from old Wyoming, ragtime cowboy. Talk about your cowboy, ragtime cowboy. One more time. He always sings ragged music to the cattle as he swings back and forth in his saddle on a horse. got a syncopated gator, and you ought to hear the meter for his repeater, how they run when they hear him a-coming, because the western folks all know he's a highfalutin' rootin' toot, son of a gun from old Wyoming. Ragtime cowboy, talk about your cowboy, ragtime cowboy Joe!
Committee announcements, Chairman Illaway.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, will meet tomorrow at noon recess. We'll discuss 4 bills, House Bill 5, Life and Health Insurance Guarantee Association, House Bill 11, Business Entities Revisions, House Bill 15, Insurance Surplus Lines, and House Bill 16, Insurance Code Revisions.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, will meet in 10 minutes in room H17, where we will discuss House Joint Resolution number 3, Resolution Parents' Rights.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, will meet Friday morning at 8 o'clock, room H18. And here, 3 bills, House Bill 28, Environmental Quality Council's Executive Secretary, House Bill 29, Uranium Research Center Fields Extension, House Bill 44, Portable Electronic Devices Insurance.
Chairman Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 1, Judiciary, will meet at 6:58 a.m. tomorrow morning to first finish its work on House Bill 30, Sex Offenders, Residents Near Child Care Facilities, and then consider House Bill 54, Crime Victim Service Providers Reporting, House Bill 55, Perfection of Security Interests, Titled Personal Property, House Bill 62, Investigative Subpoenas, House Bill 63, Child Custody Modification After Military Service, and House Bill 70, Wyoming Court Security Act of 2012.
Chairman Corbett.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 8, Transportation, will meet tomorrow, February 16th, 15 minutes after adjournment. We will consider House Bill 21, exceeding speed limit while passing, House Bill 22, Gold Star license plates, House Bill 46, handicapped parking, space size, and marking.
Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 4, Education, will meet Friday upon noon recess in room H10 for consideration of the following bills: House Bill 72, Juvenile Detention Facility Placements, and House Joint Resolution 6, Post Office Closures.
Special announcements. Chairman, still committee, Chairman Simlick.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 5, Agriculture, Public Lands, and Water Resources, will meet Thursday, February 16th. At 8 a.m. in room H11 to hear House Bill 41, Omnibus Water Bill Planning, and House Bill 7, Voluntary Livestock Identification Program. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Special announcements, Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The first announcement is that our budget, now in all its different agency forms, are up here at the front table, and if you would just, I'll put you on your good honor. If you'd like to check them out, it would be nice if you would return them, so if someone else would like to use them, they can. You certainly can have them over the weekend. There will be no penalty. The second order of business is that on February 29th at 7 a.m., it will be the Governor's Prayer Breakfast at the Little America. You should have all received an invitation. If you've not filled it out and still would like to go, if you can fill that out and take it to the Governor's office, that would be great. The guest speaker will be the wonderful Bobby Brown. Thank you.
Give committee now. Chairman Childers.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number 3, Revenue, will meet Friday morning, February the 17th, 8 a.m. in room H11 to consider the following bill: House Bill 51, Industrial Siding Impact Payments, House Bill 40, Optional Sale Tax Uses.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Last reminder of the prayer breakfast tomorrow morning at 6:45 at Egg and I, and all are welcome.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that clears the desk.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. General file for tomorrow will be House Bill 10, 25, 52, 26, 36, 4, 38, 2, 12, 13, 27, and such other bills that come before or get reported out of committee. With that, Mr. Speaker, I move that the House adjourn until Thursday, February 16th, tomorrow at 10 a.m.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House is adjourned until Thursday, February 16th, 2012, 10 a.m.